The next COVID wave is BA2. I don't have to tell you, another version of Omicron. I know you're talking to people like Zeke Emanuel, some of the most informed medical specialists. Please tell me, based on what we know right now, what's coming our way with BA2?
Well, we don't really know. We do know this, that BA2 is growing in Europe, that BA2 is more transmissible than the version of Omicron we saw before, and it's starting to grow in the U.S. As of now, we're not seeing increased case counts, although, you know, I think a lot of experts would say that over the next couple of weeks and months, we could start to. Even if we do, the fact that we have a large amount of people who were infected already with Omicron and a number of people that have been boosted and vaccinated means that we may not see increases in hospitalizations. But if you want to make sure you're not one of those people that's being hospitalized, make sure you're boosted. Make sure you are boosted, because that's the number one thing you can do in case this comes here a little more strongly.
People, in some cases, are still getting their first booster, still getting vaccinated in other cases. Should we consider another booster shot if somebody would be willing to give it to us?
Well, right now, if you're if you're immunocompromised, a booster shot is recommended after 5 months. And if you're over 65, it's been submitted to the FDA to approve boosters for you. So for others, it hasn't yet. I think the question is all a matter of risk tolerance. A booster, if you've been vaccinated and boosted and you're not immunocompromised, you're very unlikely to be hospitalized with COVID. It doesn't mean you might not get some symptoms or might not get sick. And if you want to reduce those odds, then having another booster, wearing a mask when indoors and around others, if there's a lot of cases around, those are two things you can do.
I know you're very concerned about federal funding for continued protection from COVID. Would the federal government pay for a second booster?
Well, this is where Congress needs to act. Right now, countries around the world are buying doses so they can give people their fourth shot. The U.S. is not doing that because the U.S. has not had Congress approve additional funding. That needs to happen. Pfizer and Moderna can only make so many doses. And if the U.S. doesn't put in an order, then there will not be enough doses for fourth doses here in the U.S.
I was seeing something on the New England Journal of Medicine's Twitter feed that a group of unvaccinated people recovering from the Omicron BA1 variant were found to have antibodies that were largely ineffective in neutralizing the other viral strains. What could that mean for protecting ourselves going forward?
Well, what's interesting is prior infection with Delta doesn't do a great job protecting against Omicron. Prior infection with Omicron doesn't do a great job protecting against Delta. So they're very different virus strains. You know, it's hard to think of an analogy, but they're not closely related. Omicron has a lot of different mutations, so it is true that that's not the case. Now, for a sublineage of Omicron, like BA2, it's actually the case that having had Omicron does protect you pretty well because it is much more similar.
In the past, Europe has given us clues about what we're in for. Does Europe provide a less clear example this time, or can we look to that and say, oh boy, here it comes again?
Well, let's look at what's different in Europe than the U.S. and what's the same. You know, Europeans have done a better job vaccinating and boosting their population. So that will mean that that'll protect them more. But they've also had fewer cases of Omicron, so that leaves them a little more exposed. So things will work out a little bit differently country by country now, based on what people are describing as layered immunity, which is what are the different layers that are creating immunity in a population, namely having had exposure before, being boosted, being vaccinated. So every country is going to experience things a little bit differently based on those factors. And here in the U.S., it would tell you that we're likely to see potentially an increase in cases, but hopefully it should mean that we're not going to see a concurrent increase in hospitalizations. That is consistent with Europe so far.
You know, Andy, I realize your personal mitigation practices don't necessarily apply to the rest of us. Some people are immunocompromised. They have a little kid at home or an elderly person they live with. But I would like to know, do you go about your life with a mask in your back pocket? Do you still mask up a lot, or are you back to 2019 sort of behavior, getting together with people largely maskless?
Well, I pay attention to whether or not there's a lot of cases near where I live in here in California. And right now, because cases are low, I'm dining indoors. I'm eating. I'm going without a mask indoors. And I'm not really that worried. Now, is it possible that I can get COVID? Yes. Is it reasonably highly likely? Probably not at this point. Now, if things change or if things go back to the way they were in January and February, I was wearing a mask everywhere indoors. And I was more concerned. So I think we really have to pay attention to the environment around us. And during periods of time when we see a very low number of cases, it is back to what people I think call the next normal. When cases are higher again, we need to pay attention to that and respect it.
You know, I want to make it clear I'm not lecturing anybody, but no amount of death should be acceptable to us. We're trying to save every life. Do you think that as a society we've become too accepting, for example, of 1,000 deaths a day from COVID? That would be a 9/11 every 3 days or so.
Yes, we have. This is now the third largest killer in the United States, and we act like it's over. And I think the thing we all have to appreciate is, even if it feels over for you, it's not over for everybody. If you are unvaccinated, you are at serious risk. If you are older or have a lot of other sicknesses, you are at risk. And if you are fortunate enough not to be in that category, you just have to recognize you have plenty of fellow citizens, friends, neighbors who aren't so lucky. And you know, I don't think we should stop caring about people just because they've decided not to get vaccinated, or just because they're sick. We ought to have it in our hearts to understand that even if we feel safe, others are not so lucky. And when we forget that, we lose a lot. We don't just lose more lives, we just lose a piece of ourselves.
May I finish with your best advice for us this spring and summer?
My best advice is take a stock of your own individual circumstances, take stock of the environment around you, and decide what your risk tolerance is. If there's something worth doing in your life, seeing someone you love, going on a vacation, there are probably safe ways to do it for the large majority of us. But it's a lot safer if you're boosted. So do that. And then always remember that even if things are safer for you, they're not safer for everybody. And please try to respect that.